Okay, well, it's episode 40. We have reached the big 4-0 on the Multipod, and my name's Ted. I'm going to be your host today. So thanks for joining us, as always. We love our listeners, and we love everyone who keeps tuning in every couple weeks to our episodes as we keep plugging away, experimenting with this fun podcast stuff. And that's why we're all here, to practice and have fun and talk about some interesting topics here that relate to multipotentialites. So today we're going to be talking about one of our a couple of our favorite topics on the Multipod, which are business and travel. A couple of themes that often come up here over the last the last year and a half. So we're coming back to that today, and I'm very, very pleased to be joined by our special guest Annie Sissons, who of course, member of the Putty Tribe for a few months now, and she's been pretty active in the forums, especially if you've been following some of her business ideas and the progress she's making. And she was ready to kind of take the leap to a lifestyle type business where she can essentially work from anywhere, control her schedule, and build a kind of a business that fits into that. And again, a very common theme that we often come back to here on the Multipod with us, myself and other co-hosts, and a lot of the guests we've talked to doing the same kind of thing. So it's exciting in this case because for Annie, she's really just launched this in the last few weeks. We'll hear all about it, of course, the process of getting to where she is right now. She's basically a few weeks, maybe a couple months or so into launching her business, and at the point of, you know, having learned a lot of lessons so far, kind of making the next stage of adjustments, and not just with the business, but with her own life. You're going to hear about how she's kind of transitioning out of her day job, which of course is a big, big step for any of us who want to get into this entrepreneur and business life. So she's reaching that point pretty soon. And we're going to hear all about what her ideas are and what the future come is bringing. And of course, a little bit more about her. So without any further delay, Annie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I think you were a Putty Peep of the Week, if I remember.
Maybe I was so excited. I felt like I just won an Oscar for at least our little tribe. It was sure. That was fun.
Yeah, it's great when Joel does that, you know. And I'm always excited every week to see who's going to be the next person. And I'm in the lucky chair here where I can then dig into some of their profiles, of course, and learn more about them. So that's how I discovered you. And especially that we had so much in common with, well, again, really both these two topics, I mean, travel and business, which, you know, both are the top of our minds these days. So, tell us a bit about how you found the Putty Tribe, I guess, and what brought you to the community.
It actually started last February. I was in Panama visiting a friend, and my sister-in-law had sent me the link to Emily's video. To the TED Talk. You know, I think that's how many of us found Putty Like and the Tribe. And I mean, it was just tears everywhere. I was so excited to just, I mean, it was a game changer for real. It changed my life in the way that I finally felt like I wasn't broken. Like there are other people out there who have these same kinds of things that we can't stick to just one thing. I want to try XYZ and everything in between. So that was really where it started. It took me probably about another year to finally join the Putty Tribe. Mm-hmm. But I'd been devouring all of Emily's books and all the articles, just trying to figure out, and it, like the work your work, trying to figure out kind of now what do I do with this new information? So That's kind of how I discovered it.
So until you got to that point, you probably didn't know the term, but you would have identified in some shape or form as a multipotentialite, as someone who had all kinds of different interests and trying to choose your path in life. What kind of struggles, I guess, did you face or have you faced in terms of kind of finding your path?
My struggles have definitely been in the career zone. You know, I was the standard, you know, multipotentialite, which I'm sure many of the listeners can relate to, of jumping from job to job, not because I can't hold a job, but because I get bored. Like, okay, I did, you know, I started when I was just out of high school. I was working at a bank for a few years. And then next thing you know, I'm doing human resources, and then I'm doing marketing. And then I taught junior high, and, you know, so like all of these all over the place, seemingly disjointed career choices you know, that the people in my life are like, what's going on? What are you going, like, are you going to choose something? Or what are you doing? And I didn't know the answer to that question. I'm like, I don't know. I'm just doing what is exciting for me right now. And, you know, I was trying to find my thing, like most, like my specialist friends of, I love to do X. And so I was hoping to find that thing. And then again, coming across Emily's TED Talk really gave, like, allowed me to give myself the permission to not have mm-hmm. one thing and to stop that search for the one thing and just embrace, this is what I like to do right now. And then that will morph into something else, will morph into something else, and so on and so forth. And that's mm-hmm. okay.
Oh, good. Well, yeah, I'm sure we can all relate to that. Most of us in the Putty tribe have been down the same path and continue to. So, okay. So before we get into your business venture, I mean, what have you been doing the last little while for work or for profession?
I made a few entrepreneurial attempts after teaching junior high for a few years. And I kind of let each one fizzle out as I decided and discovered different things that weren't necessarily exactly what I wanted. Like, we're getting warmer, but not quite there. So after about a year and a half of that, I kind of needed a paycheck for a minute. So I found the company I'm currently working for. It's a gifting company. So I had signed up, you know, they had hired me on as a seasonal salesperson. And then I did okay. So they decided to keep me around. And that was 2.5 years ago, almost 3 years ago. So I've kind of morphed my way through there too. I did that for a while. And now I'm in charge of like training and quality stuff. So that was really just kind of to recoup my debts and clear the boards after my my run of entrepreneurial attempts. So
So has that been a full-time job then the last little while?
Yes, it's full. I mean, it's full-time, but the nice part, because it's a gifting company, there's the seasonal nature, because travel has been my passion for, I mean, since I first got to go back in 2008. So because of the seasonal nature, fourth quarter is super busy, and that's way more than full-time. But then summer is slow. So they've been great about letting me take, like, I think last year I took like 10 weeks off total.
Oh yeah.
You know, travel and do my thing.
Huh. No, that's unpaid, I guess, right?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes they would let me work remotely, but that's not really part of what they love. So, I mean, most of it was unpaid.
Mm-hmm. And you're in, are you in Salt Lake City? You're near Salt Lake?
Yes, I'm in Salt Lake City.
Yeah. Okay. Neat. So how long have you been there?
I actually was born and raised in Utah, and then I moved to North Dakota when I was 20. Hmm. And then I moved back after I finished college. I came back for a job offer, which I actually wasn't super excited about coming back to Salt Lake, but my mom's here, and the job opportunity had the opportunity to travel in it as well. So, I mean, I couldn't say no to that.
Well, tell us a bit then about your roots in travel. Is it something that goes back to like your childhood? Do you remember an initial kind of travel wish or destination that you wanted to go to?
So my dad had his own business. So maybe that's where the entrepreneurial gene comes from. I don't know. But he would go to, it was marble and granite. He would do installation restoration. So he would go to Italy every once in a while to visit like the granite quarries, things like that. Not often, but maybe once every couple of years. And he had made some friends while he was there. And when I was probably 7 or 8, one of them came over and stayed with us to visit. And he was little, but he brought all of these great colorful plastic necklaces and this beautiful golden crucifix for me, and taught me how to make like little paper dolls, you know, the ones where they, all their hands are still connected, whatever. You know, and he had this funny accent and was this, from this place that wasn't here. So that was the first time I really remember understanding that there was a whole bigger world out there and wanting to see it. And so from that point forward, Italy, especially like the antiquities of Rome, that was at the top of my list.
Did you ever go then with your dad to Italy on one of those trips?
No, and I wanted to so bad. And, you know, he had told me that he would take me, and, you know, then my parents got divorced, everything kind of fell apart, whatever. So, no, I didn't get to go when I was younger, but that kept its place at the top of my travel bucket list.
So what was your first kind of major trip then?
The first trip, oh my gosh, this was so crazy. So it was for this job that I had moved back to Utah for. And I was responsible for like marketing communication stuff, and we had offices around the world. And I was actually scheduled to go to Brazil in a couple weeks for a trade show. And then my boss came in my office and is like, okay, we're launching this new product. We need you to go visit 4 of the facilities in Europe. Also, I need you to leave tomorrow.
Wow.
I know. And I was like, wait, what? What just happened? what do I do? So I called our corporate travel agent, like made all the arrangements, went home, packed my, oh my God, ginormous suitcase. So many things I learned on that trip. And then, yeah, like I was on my way to the airport the next morning.
Wow.
For 2.5 weeks. Like, I know I didn't even have time to research where I was going. Thankfully I had like business contacts, so I at least had hotels and someone to call if I needed to. But yeah, it was definitely a whirlwind out of nowhere.
And that was your first time in Europe?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess it was a business trip. I mean, did you have any kind of free time or a chance to go exploring on your own?
I did. I mean, of course, like every single second I wasn't at a business meeting or office or dinner, I was out seeing what there was to see. Like my first stop was in Stockholm. And so I landed in the morning. It was a Sunday morning that I landed. I didn't have to meet my work people till the next day. So yeah, it was just, you know, backpack. Okay. Taking the train into the city and I'm just going to go wander around. And my poor mother was a little freaked out. I was in my mid 20s and she's just like, oh my God, please be careful. Like, I know you, you're just going to go wandering wherever, just be careful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So every time I didn't have some sort of obligation, I was out exploring. I had 2 free weekends, which was nice. So I got to see, I got to spend that time doing what I wanted.
So where else did you go on that trip besides Stockholm?
So there was a little tiny town in France called Thiers. And there was, I mean, there was not much there. Like, I think our facility was one of the biggest things. And the hotel I was staying in was like the best restaurant in the town. So that was really small. And then I had, from Stockholm, I went to Essen, Germany, near Düsseldorf. So I had a few days at our facility there and then to France. And then I had a weekend. So my last work stop was in Villach, Austria. So I chose to spend the weekend in Salzburg. I'd heard great things about it. So that was like the first place I ever got to go see of my own choice was Salzburg. So that was amazing.
So did that kind of plant the bug then that, you know, next time, next trip, I want to do my own thing. I want to plan it and have the control, the freedom to figure it all out?
Absolutely. That was, I mean, I was standing, I hadn't even left the airport in Stockholm and I was standing, like, I'll never forget it. I was standing in the passport control line, just, you know, waiting to get my very first stamp. and I just remember like, that was the moment I knew this is what I want to do forever.
Wow.
I don't know what that looks like. And there's a lot of different ways, you know, it's taken me this long to put it all together. But that was the moment I knew, like, I'm never having children. I'm never going to, you know, do these kinds of things because this is what I want to do.
That's pretty profound then to think, you know, a life-changing moment.
Uh-huh, for sure.
Wow. So, I mean, you're 25 or so then, or mid-20s. That's been kind of a conscious... You've been consciously aware of that ever since, like as you go about your life day to day, maybe even, or just making choices, it's always come back to that inspiration and even that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. So I met my husband the following spring, but every career choice I've made has been to give me more freedom to travel. Like I measure purchases in plane tickets. Like, do I want to spend $100 on that? Because that's like a quarter of a plane ticket. So that's been, and that's when I decided to really make this part of my life, whether or not I was going to make money at doing it or make it into a business or whatever. I knew that I wanted to see as much of the world as I could. And that's been the priority.
So, where else have you been then since then?
Oh, goodness. After I met my husband, we planned a trip that summer. So I did finally get to see Rome. We went to Rome. We started in Spain. So I've seen like more than half of the countries in Europe. And then that's been my love, is Europe. Fell in love with it. There's so much to see, so much history, culture, all of that. So that's been the majority of my travels. I did, for work, end up in Abu Dhabi for a trade show, which was, it was an experience for sure. Yeah. And then, of course, through the United States, I have a friend in Panama. So I went to Panama to visit her. The majority of my travels have been through Europe.
Does your husband share the passion then?
He does. So he's a history teacher. So, okay. I mean, we come at it, I usually go for the food, but he goes for the history. So it's great. We both love it. So we get to do a fair amount of it together.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Especially if you both have summers off.
Yeah. In the summers. And then I'll take other trips during parts of the year when he's in school. So I'll take a solo trip or do something with a friend or whatever.
Yeah. Were you ever driven then to find a way to work within the travel industry?
Oh, absolutely. Like I had looked at working like for the national parks. I had looked at, and given where I live, I mean, I did work, I'm not very far from Park City. So when I was just after high school, I did work for like some property management companies that did like vacation homes, that kind of thing. And obviously there's a ton of different resorts, and I'd, you know, looked for some different jobs there. It just kind of never came together. So, but definitely it was always a consideration. Every time I've decided to revamp a job search, I'm always looking at like the big tour groups, seeing if there's some way my skills will fit in there and I can get on board and at least put those to work towards the industry that I super love.
Sure. So when it came to your first entrepreneurial venture, I gather before the thing you're doing right now, so like a few years ago?
Yeah, 2015.
Oh, yeah. And was that travel related?
Yeah, my first attempt was at doing a like tour operator. I wanted to take people. My whole thing has always been making it more accessible for people. So I thought maybe I can take a group of people and travel the way I travel, you know, which is comfortable, but cheaper accommodations. You know, most of us have a limited budget. So just kind of taking the intimidation factor, like here, I'll get you here and then turn you loose so you can go have your experience, whatever. So that was kind of my first attempt at anything entrepreneurial, but it was totally in the travel zone.
Yeah. Well, how did that turn out?
So I had actually booked all of my personal plane tickets to go lead the group. And then I had actually already scheduled, I did a 6-week solo trip through Central and Eastern Europe, like during the summer. And then my first tour groups were going to be in the fall. And through the course of the summer, nobody had booked with me. It kind of fizzled a little bit and I already had plane tickets. So I just kind of rearranged a few things and went back to Europe for like another month and a half. I decided through that process that maybe I don't really want to be gone that much. Maybe there's another way I can get into travel that doesn't require me physically to go with them and be away from my family and my husband for that much time. So that's kind of where I pulled the plug and just said, okay, closer, we're getting closer, but that's not quite the iteration yet.
Mm. So tell us about the idea you have now and how you got to choosing that thing.
Okay. The whole confluence of events. So it started there. I know I've always wanted to do something since that trip in 2008, something related to travel. And it's been such a huge game changer for me personally and just the way I see the world and interact with it, how much positive benefits, both, you know, internal transformations and just the external experience of seeing all of these things you've dreamed about seeing. So after the tour company idea kind of fizzled, you know, I took some time to just time out. Okay, let's get a paycheck. And then once I came across Emily's TED Talk, I started kind of working through her books, the How to Be Everything and then Work Your Work, all of that stuff, to kind of, and really started digging into what is it that I'm really good at. And between my day job now, previous positions, like just focusing on figuring out those skills, what I've come down to is things that I'm really good at and also enjoy is I never thought of myself as particularly organized, but I super am. So like organizing, putting together like itineraries, the logistics, like on a Saturday morning, I will sit down with a cup of coffee and Google Maps and just daydream up possible itineraries, look at flights, whatever.
Nice. I do that
so
too.
I just wanted to take, how do I take these things I'm naturally good at and apply it to this thing that I super love? So that's kind of how I ended up in the current sphere of, I mean, that's, and teaching is the other thing that I mean, I did it as a profession for a minute. And then now with this position, I just kind of always end up falling into that like training, teaching kind of role. And so that got me thinking about like, maybe I can just teach people how I do this. Like there's a lot of information out there, but I mean, obviously travel blogs, you and I probably read a ton of them. There's a ton of information about, you know, where to go, what to see when you're there, all of that kind of thing. But what I haven't found is there's not a lot out there for how to make it happen. I want to go on an international trip. That's a lot of things to put together. How do I do that? So I thought maybe that would be a good place for me to start, is just trying to teach people how to do this on a limited budget with limited time, kind of skip the line through some of the expensive and difficult lessons I had to learn in the process.
Right. So have you, is much of this based on kind of feedback that you've had over the years from people saying that I want to travel, but I find it overwhelming. I don't know where to start and I want to save money or I want to make sure I'm smart with my money, et cetera, et cetera. Like, have you kind of compiled those kinds of comments and realized that there was an entrepreneurial opening?
Yeah, so I did. So the school district that I used to teach for also has had past tense, a community education program. And so I actually taught a class of like how to travel Europe on a budget. And so I would usually have, I mean, maybe five people per class. It's just kind of like a catalog that they send out, whatever. So through that, that's what I would hear a lot from people is like either A, I just don't even know where to start, or B, there's so much information out there. How do I even know what's good? How do I filter this? That sort of thing. So that's, I got a lot of feedback like that through the classes. And then where I realized that this was really actually maybe an opportunity was one of my girlfriends reached out to me and let me know her and her husband wanted to go to Ireland, asked me if I would help them plan it. They would pay me, whatever. I know. And I was like, wait, what? I mean, like all of this stuff I know is worth something.
Yeah. Well, that's the question. It's like, how, at what point did you determine, I guess that's a good example there, but that you knew there was enough demand and that people would pay money for that service or some part of that service?
Yeah, I think it was the combination of, I mean, because I'd had people asking me for years when they were going on trips of like, hey, what should I see in this place? How do I do this? And then between that community education classes and then this friend reaching out and telling me like, no, what you have is so valuable that here, let me give you money. Help me. That I, you know, and so then I started talking to other people. And yeah, it was a resounding yes from everybody like, oh my gosh. Yeah. I would love to be able to do this. I don't know how. Like, I know I can buy a guidebook and read all about places, but how do I put it all together?
So did they want to pay you to put their whole trip together from start to finish or to teach them how to do that?
Some of each. And so that's kind of why like current offerings are like, I'm trying to bridge that both the gap of either if you want to learn, I will teach you, or if you want help, I will help you. So like we walked through a lot of it, and then I put some information together for her of they're going to Ireland. Like, okay, here is an itinerary. Here's a map with possible driving routes. Here's different places to see. And then now you get to decide. But it's basically like I'm filtering the information for them so they don't have to spend hours and hours trying to figure out what's good, what's not, kind of avoiding that cycle.
And to what extent then do you encourage your clients to still kind of be spontaneous and go out there and discover things for themselves?
That's a huge part for me of the conversation that I have with clients as we're kind of putting together the trips of, you know, like for me personally, I can like going to Rome, I have a huge list of things I want to see. Of course I want to go to the Colosseum. Duh. It's iconic for a reason. But also that's not the memories that I bring home. The stories that I want to tell, and share aren't typically the things that I had pre-planned. It's always the stuff that kind of happens off the cuff of you run into some street performance or you find this great little cafe or whatever. So I always encourage clients to like build in some unstructured time, like one or two major attractions a day is plenty, and give yourself the space for that exploration and just to kind of discover what else is out there.
Yeah, I remember that when I was traveling a lot more kind of full time, and I learned that you have to pace yourself, of course. And I love going back to a place for a second or third time. I remember this with London was a good example. And I'd been there on a school trip actually once in high school. And then when I went and lived in England, I went there again a couple times. And after like the third time, it was so cool because it's like I'd always dreamed of going to London. I used to look at pictures and books and stuff when I was a kid, you know, and maps. And like my, I remember my mom went to London or to England once on a trip and she had brought back all this stuff. You know, I was engrossed in it for years. And then I actually went. It was incredible. But then I went back again the second, the third time. And suddenly it starts to feel not quite like home, but like a second home, you know, you're familiar with it. It's like the place that when you get there, you know exactly where to go. You remember being in a underground station, let's say, or going through this park. And it's that really neat connection you get with a place that now you're more familiar with.
Absolutely. Like I'm leaving in a little over a week with my mom, and this will be my fourth trip to London. Like I've got a few places where I'll go back over and over and over again because I love it. Like I know there are so many things I still haven't seen and still want to see, but there are some of those places that just kind of capture your heart and you have to go back.
Oh yeah. And then the other thing is when, if you're lucky and you have the time to kind of like get to a place and unpack your bag for a while, you know, to stay there for a few days. And again, it starts to feel a little bit like home. Like I might even put my clothes away in the little drawer in the room kind of thing. And yep. Like you get into a little routine and it just starts to feel that little more comfortable and familiar. Cause you know, it's like you get to a place and like the first day you're going out to see the city or see the place, whatever it is. And you kind of just start to understand it. Well, if you're leaving the next day on the train or whatever to go on to the next place, then that's it. It's like, you never really settle. And it's amazing how quickly, maybe it's human nature or something. It's amazing how quickly you can like feel settled even after like, say 3 or 4 days, right? You start to build that routine. You get up in the morning and you go here for breakfast. And then, you know, you go again, you go down the street to the nearest metro station or whatever it is. And like, it's a comfort feeling over time, a short amount of time, but just giving yourself that time to really settle into a place. It's a neat feeling.
Absolutely. I did that on that 6-week solo trip. Unfortunate turned fortunate happenstance. I had a rental car and I had driven into Bosnia and stayed at one little town. And then I had planned to go to Sarajevo and spend a few days. I get to Sarajevo and realize I've left my bag of dirty clothes, basically half of my clothes in the previous town.
Yeah.
And so I'm, of course, have a full 5-minute freak out about what do I do? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, should I go back or should I just buy new clothes?
Or, yeah, what do I do? Whatever. So I called them. They were super nice. We're like, oh, yeah, we'll just send it to the, we'll mail it to the hostel. in my naivety, I thought we were talking closer to U.S. Postal Service timelines because this town was like maybe 200 miles away. No, it took a full week.
Wow.
So I was kind of forced to stay in one place. Like, that hadn't actually been my plan, but I ended up spending a full week in Sarajevo. Absolutely fell in love with it. And then when the whole tour operator thing didn't pan out, that's what I rearranged everything and went back and spent a month there.
Now, okay, so let's look at your business. Now, is it called Beyond Reservations or is it called DIY Travel Academy?
So the name of the business is Beyond Reservations. And then the courses designed to teach people how to do this is, that's what I've named it, the DIY Travel Academy.
Okay. And within that, there eventually will be a collection of courses?
Yes. I started with flights because that tends to be the most expensive, like, one-time outlay of cash for a trip. And it's also usually not the thing we're super excited about. Like, I know I don't go on vacation or take these kind of trips for the flights. So I don't want to spend the majority of my budget there. And I'm guessing I'm probably not alone in that. So I thought that was a good place to start. That's the thing that people tend to ask me about most frequently is, like, how do I find flights? How do, you know, especially if you live somewhere, like Salt Lake is a big enough airport, but it's no, you know, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago. So
a lot of connecting flights.
Right. So that's where I decided to start, was helping people kind of find ways to get more affordable flights from wherever they're located.
Mm-hmm. So your first course is called How to Save on International Flights.
Right. Very descriptive.
That's good. And I noticed that you concentrate mostly on Skyscanner, skyscanner.com. So
yes, because weirdly, it's always a surprise to me when people have not heard of this, because this is like the magic sauce for it has been for me. I mean, I usually save, if I look at what a flight costs me, like if I pick just a couple of days directly out of Salt Lake flying to a destination, and then I work, you know, the different ways of looking at it through Skyscanner, I usually save at least $300 or $400 on an international flight if I piece it together a little bit differently or look at different dates. Yeah. And Skyscanner kind of really helps me get an idea of what my best options are going to be.
Well, I was curious. My first question was, why Skyscanner more than another site like Kayak or something else? Does it really stand out? Is that much different or unique?
Yeah, the two biggest things for me is when you use Skyscanner, you don't have to pick a specific destination.
Okay.
It has the option to search everywhere. So like you put in your home airport, everywhere, choose. And then the second part that is not as common on the others either is you don't have to choose specific dates. Like I can look at all of September. I want to go, I mean, like I can be flexible. It doesn't matter if I go from the 1st to the 15th or the 15th to the 30th, whatever. So it lets me get an idea of also when those flights are the cheapest.
So it's really, in that sense, it's built for the flexible traveler.
Right. Like if you can be flexible with, like, I want to go somewhere in the summer. Like that's a pretty big range of opportunity. So maybe it's cheaper to go in June. Maybe it's cheaper to go in August, depending on where you want to go. But Skyscanner makes it a lot easier to find out when that's going to work best.
But if you have very specific dates, then you're kind of stuck with whatever you can find.
Yeah. If you've got really specific dates, then I mean, then it's not going to be much different than like an Expedia, a Kayak, or even just directly through the airline. Yeah. If you're locked in, like say you have a wedding on this weekend, like that's when you have to go, then it's not going to make nearly the difference. Maybe depending on where you're going, there might be some different routing options, but you don't necessarily need Skyscanner for that.
Okay. So that's the focus of the course then, is to kind of learn how to navigate Skyscanner.
How to navigate Skyscanner is is the basics. And so there's a free course also that kind of covers just the basics of how to plan when you're going to travel. Like, are you traveling in high season when all of the other people are going to that place? Or, you know, it kind of talks about some of the basics. And then it's the introduction to Skyscanner is kind of the free course. Cause that, I mean, those things will help you save money even on domestic flights, whatever, but that's where you get started. And then in the premium course, then we really get into how to research different ways of routing your flights, how to use the different types of flights to maximize the savings.
Okay. So I see. So the free course is this Fly for Less mini course. And then there's the premium one is how to save on international flights.
Right.
So we'll put all this in our show notes and links and so on. But essentially, people can find it at beyondreservations.com, I think.
.us.
.us. Okay.
Yeah, it's .us. I tried to get the .com, but they wanted like $1,500 for the domain. And I was like, you know what? I think we can get by with .us. That's fine.
I see. Okay. Yeah, that's a nice site. I like the background there. So, I mean, had you done with your other entrepreneurial stuff or even anything, like, do you have, what kind of skills did you have? Did you have any web design background, like video software editing, because you do some videos in your course? Like, did you have to learn all of this stuff or did you know some of it already?
The upside of being a multi-potentialite, right? We're always into different things. So, I mean, when I was doing marketing communications, I taught myself how to do Photoshop because I had to do that for some of our brochure stuff. So I learned how to do some photo editing. And then I was interested, so I had taken a couple of college courses on web development, which I'm in by no stretch a web developer, but enough to like build a basic site. But man, I'll tell you what, this has been a learning experience like not many things before.
What about the logo? The logo is really neat.
Thanks. I super love it. It actually kind of, not on purpose, matches one of my tattoos. that one I just outsourced through Fiverr.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't do any of the graphic design work.
I see.
Yeah. So I just paid, I think maybe $40 to get the logo and all the source files and all of that.
I see.
It's been a lot of figuring out how to do different things. I have hired someone to help me with like the SEO stuff. That's not, my marketing degree came before the days of social media and digital marketing. So I've had to find some help. So I found somebody who does freelance, which I love because her lifestyle is very similar. She's on the road, super traveler, works from wherever she's at. So I love that I get to also support her business and, you know, it's a good match.
Well, yeah. I mean, SEO consulting is a good example of a nomad, you know, digital nomad kind of business, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a bit about marketing promotion. How are you getting the word out about your site, your course, your blog, and everything else you have to offer?
I'll tell you what, that is the tricky bit is it's been a lot of trial and error up to this point of like, okay, let's try this, see what happens. Let's try that and see what happens. So thus far, my biggest, and I think it's just because this is naturally where I happen to have the most connections, is Facebook, of course. You know, I'm an early adopter in that zone. So I've been there forever. Lots of friends, lots of connections there. And then one that kind of popped on the radar and has been really pretty positive is Pinterest.
Okay.
Yeah. It's fun. I get to design the graphics, you know, so I get to do some graphic design work and I like wearing all the different hats.
Yeah. What program do you use to do your graphic design for something like Pinterest?
It's called Canva, like canva.com. And you can, there's a free version and then like you can upgrade to like a premium that's I think maybe $10 a month or something, but it's got all sorts of stock photos already loaded. It's got all sorts of templates for whether you want to make an Instagram photo or a Pinterest pin or an Instagram story. It's got or a brochure, whatever. It's got kind of formats already available that you can just kind of then drag and drop different photos, text, whatever. So that's made it really easy.
Okay. And were you already familiar with Pinterest, how it works?
Yeah. I mean, like, as a multi-potentialite, my brain works kind of like Pinterest, like, ooh, look at that thing. And, you know, like, there's some cool jewelry things. There's some more travel things. Oh, that's a great book, whatever. So I already had like a giant Pinterest account with all sorts of things I was interested in. So then I was able to just kind of convert that into the business, hide the boards that are just for me that aren't necessarily travel related, but so that I can still see them. But I already had a fairly significant following, more than I did anywhere else. So I tried running a few little ads, and, you know, I spent maybe $30, and that helped get things going. So it's, I just kind of fell into it, and so far so good.
So do you think, I mean, does it look promising that you'll find some customers and clients from Pinterest or another platform?
Yeah, I've had quite a few people sign up for the free mini course from Pinterest. And so that's encouraging, and building the email list, boy, that's the tricky part.
Yeah.
Right. That one's tough. So I'm in the process of making some different kind of free things to help drive that. At least I'm definitely getting leads, and I thankfully have, you know, plenty of friends and family and just associates over time that kind of know that I hate to call myself an expert, but I guess I am when like independent travel. So I've had quite a few people reach out that, and I've already worked with a number of them on creating their trips. So
here's a question. Now, how do things fit in? And I guess the legal / insurance department. So are you considered a travel agent?
I mean, yes. And like, I technically am. I have, when I was looking at potentially doing a travel agency, I did sign up with a host agency. So like, technically I can book, and their insurance with a host agency, like, they have all of the insurance and things that kind of cover whatever you book. But that's not really how I wanted to operate the business. So it's really consultation. So no, I'm not a travel agent. Everybody books their own things. I will teach them how. I will walk them through the process. I will do all the research, but then they're responsible for doing all of the bookings.
Yeah, that's true. All right. So, we're in right around the middle of July right now. When did you launch this thing?
April 10th, just before my husband and I went to Hawaii for our 10th anniversary. It was like the week before we left.
Okay, cool. And then you're at the stage now of kind of easing out of your day job, right?
Well, I don't know if I would call it easing out as much as jumping off the cliff, but yes.
Okay. Take the plunge.
Yeah, I mean, because of the seasonal nature of my day job, once we get into October, it basically takes over everything. I'm working 10, 12 plus hours a day, which means for the rest of the year. And I knew that if I stayed for another holiday season, that I would have to basically push pause on my business for a solid 3 months. Yeah. You know, especially in these early stages where I'm getting traction, I'm getting clients, we're making progress. I'm not willing to put it on hold. You know, it's taken me 11 years to even figure out how I want to do this. I'm not willing to spend another 3 months working for someone else's dream instead of chasing my own once I've figured out what it is.
Well, that's amazing. That's the moment I think we all aspire to get to, right? And you never, I mean, I guess, unless, I don't know, you get some windfall and everything just suddenly clicks, which is pretty unlikely in an instant. You just kind of have to take the plunge, as you say, right? And like,
yeah.
Guess base it on the best kind of intuition and maybe some data and metrics and, you know, a bit of momentum and all the rest. But like, ultimately, you're just kind of, life just kind of forces you to make that decision. Whether you're kind of ready or not, you get as ready as you can,
Right.
And I guess here's a question then, like, what kind of risks are you really taking as we stand here in the middle of 2019, I guess in terms of money, your bills or commitments and things like that? Like, do you have a backup plan or?
So thankfully, I have super simplified my life. I do not have a ton of bills. And because the business is online, I don't have a lot of overhead. So my monthly expenses are thankfully really minimal. But I do, the upside of being a multi-potentialite again, is that, you know, we have lots of different skills in a lot of different arenas. Mm-hmm. So for the last, I mean, I guess it's been about a year now. I do some freelance work on the side, as a data analyst for an educational consulting company. So I've got a little bit of work there. And then I've just re-registered with my old school district so that I can substitute teach. So that's kind of a nice filler where I take the jobs that I want to. I don't have, you know, the only requirement for me to stay as an active employee is I have to work 3 days a month.
Okay.
But I do have, yeah, I've got a couple of different options for, you know, filling in the gaps as I go. It's still a little scary, but it's not totally flying blind with no plan. I've got a couple of different things in there I can use to supplement as I need to.
And the flip side too is that you have otherwise, unless you go in for the odd day of work, you'd have all the time in the world to devote to your business and build up your content. Like, what's your next strategy then to grow things, find more clients, more customers? Do you have a plan for the next step?
I have a very long list of ideas. I'm working on putting together some, there's more courses I want to do I think the next one will be accommodations, because that tends to be number two on the budget eater list. And I've had people asking for information like, okay, I get flights, accommodations, whatever. How do I even choose where I want to go when there are so many options? All of us have already an idea, of course, a dream of, we want to see insert bucket list destination. You know, some of us already have a list. Other people are like, there's so many cool things. Just how do I know where to choose? There's some different partnerships I want to do. I thought about maybe doing some online workshops, basically taking the how to travel Europe on a budget class I used to do in person and maybe turning that into an online workshop. YouTube channel is probably coming next. I feel like, I can write a blog, but I feel like I communicate better through speech, and I've got a ton of video clips from over the years of travel, whatever. So maybe it's time to start putting some of those things together. Really, I'm trying to stay open and let it evolve as naturally as possible. You know, when all of a sudden something presents itself and people are asking for whatever it is, like how to choose a destination, whatever, that I can be open and pivot in that direction if that's kind of where it's naturally growing.
How about networking? Like, are you considering going to conferences or finding other communities and, you know, entrepreneurs, especially in the niche, in the travel niche?
Absolutely. Right now I'm basically working two jobs between my day job and then trying to run the business in the evenings. Yeah. So as soon as I'm done with my day job, at the end of August, then I'm definitely looking to dive into more of those networking groups, seeing what is available locally. And then also, I know there's the TravelCon conference. Yeah, there's a few different things I'm looking at, but I haven't decided for sure kind of where we go next.
Okay. If you have time on your side, but you kind of take it at a slow and steady pace.
Yeah, what I've discovered is that everything takes about twice as long as I anticipate.
Do you approach it as a regular type, quote unquote, job, say a 9-to-5 or whatever schedule you want? But do you have a dedicated workspace? Are you able to tune out all the other things, like you work from home? So, well, maybe I'll get some laundry going at the same time, or I'll wash a few dishes. You know, are you able to separate your work environment from your home environment and focus on it as a proper job, or at least I know that you haven't been able to do that so much, maybe on weekends, but so certainly once you really do get into it full time, are you worried about being able to do that? Are you looking forward to being able to do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I did take a couple of days off to just have a minute to focus on this, whatever. Mm-hmm. And what I've discovered about kind of my natural rhythms too, how I work, I do have a dedicated workspace, so that's great. I can come downstairs, shut the doors. But I've found that for me, and especially where this is something I love so much, that it has to integrate naturally with my life. I'm not a rigid schedule. I don't like having a rigid structure. Mm. So for me, it tends to be more free flow. Like I'll get up in the morning, have some coffee, sit down, answer emails, do maybe more administrative tasks. You know, it takes me a minute to wake up. I don't want to jump right into client work and that kind of thing. So I'll take some time and then I'm ready for a break. So maybe I'll go for a walk or start the laundry, go to the gym, whatever it is, for an hour, maybe two, come back and then I'm ready. Then I'm fresh again. My brain's had a minute. So then I'll work again for a little while, mm-hmm. you know, for another couple of hours and then maybe it's time for lunch, whatever. But so it tends to actually kind of be a little more work, break, so on and so forth. And then I have discovered, which makes this really tough for me in the evenings, is right about 6 o'clock is where I hit the wall of like, and I am all done with brain activity for the day. I don't function as well with the creativity, with the focus, you know, after that point. So I'm kind of making that the hard line of like, that'll probably be roughly quitting time. Mm-hmm. And then the rest will kind of free flow as my brain is ready to do work and needs break, so on and so forth.
Yeah, but it's so crucial to understand and recognize those patterns in each of us. And everybody's different. Some people are nighthawks and their mm-hmm. creative brain doesn't get going until 7 o'clock at night or something. And if their schedule permits it, maybe they work from 2 p.m. till 10 at night or something like that, you know, whatever it is. And one thing we've talked about a lot on this show, it keeps coming up, is simply doing things with purpose. So if you're going to take a break, go for a walk, that's fine. You know, make the point of doing that. Obviously, get the fresh air, the exercise, and the change of scene and all the rest. Don't feel that I should be working, you know, I only have a certain amount of time and I should put all my time into working, work, because the odds are you're probably going to burn out and you're not going to really be that focused or productive. So as long as you're doing something that's not the actual work that you need to do, but it's still productive, and it's with a purpose. It's clear decision, because I find, at least myself, the worst thing is when I just kind of drift away from what I meant to do. I was going to start at a certain time and then it's like 50 minutes later. And then, you know, wait a second. I don't mind if I'm doing another task, but I want to have made the decision to do that task, right? To do something different instead of it just kind of happening. Because then I'll feel bad about it. Then I'll feel exactly. Like, you know, I should have really been working. Whereas, you know, I wanted to go outside and do some kind of chore. So I made the decision. I'm going to take half an hour to go and do that at the expense of maybe the work I was going to do. But I'll feel better in the long run having a change of scene. It's just crucial, I think, when you're self-employed, you're your own boss, there's no one else to bounce ideas off of, at least in the next room or whatever. You really got to be self-disciplined. And it's a great... It's a great journey, really, to see how that plays out over time.
It is. And one of the biggest things has been, for me, is letting go of the shoulds. Mm, like, yeah. Of, it's 7 o'clock at night. I should write that email. You know what? I should also have a minute to enjoy my life. Like, the whole point of this is to have a better work-life balance and to have my life feel more natural and flow in a way that I'm comfortable with. That's been a challenging kind of cycle to work through of should versus what feels right.
Yeah. And you know, you'll feel bad eventually if you're not kind of hitting your goals and being productive enough. So it's kind of a back and forth thing, ebbs and flows. Sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, it's good to be spontaneous, but if you're not productive enough, then you'll want to jolt yourself back on track, right?
It's a balancing act for sure.
Yeah. Well, this has been great. I mean, I've watched you start this thing and share some of your ideas and look for feedback on the forum, of course, and being open about it, you know, sharing it with the community and being transparent like that, and not keeping it to yourself, like really putting your ideas out there. That's been an inspiration in itself. And I hope some of our listeners have been following along with your posts and stuff on the forum, sharing this journey, launching this business, the course and all that rest. And, you know, keep sharing us with us, of course, you know, the more stuff that you come up with, and I'm sure there's people that are happy to like beta test it and give you the feedback, of course, as well, especially anyone. And there's lots and lots of putty peep who love to travel and have experience and maybe, you know, have some insight and tips as well. So definitely feel free to reach out to Annie. You can send her a message on the forum. Go to her website again. We'll have the link there, but beyondreservations.us. Beautiful website, so you can find her there. Oh yeah, and the Facebook group. So I just joined that today. Now there's the business page, Beyond Reservations US. It's all one word in Facebook. And then you can go to the actual group that's part of the course, and that's the DIY Travel Academy. And that's one of those things where you can click to join, but I'm sure Annie will let you in, and then you can be part of the discussion there. So, and I really hope to see you in Canada, because you haven't been to Canada yet, have you? Or did you go briefly?
I was in Winnipeg for a Pearl Jam concert once. For one night, I have been to Canada. So there's much, much more of it I need to explore.
Good. Well, let me know and I'll show you around my neck of the woods for sure.
I would love that. That would be awesome.
Okay. Well, this has been great. So we'll keep in touch. We'll keep sharing your story. And thanks again, Annie, for joining us on the Multipod.
Thanks. And thanks to all of the Putty Tribe who has been so helpful with feedback and willing to, you know, participate and give me some good input. It's awesome. I'm lucky to have found such a wonderful group.
Yeah, we all are. I think we all feel the same way. So we're happy to be there for you and for each other.
Awesome.
So Annie and I had our own little chat a few weeks ago about business and travel ideas. It wasn't the first time that we've talked, and that's kind of an exception when it comes to doing this show. Usually when we interview people, and whether it's myself or Sarah or Vanessa or anyone else doing the interview, it's pretty rare that we've actually met the person that we're talking to, you know, at least talk to them on video and audio. You may have chatted a little bit, so it was kind of nice that Annie and I had already met, obviously, over the internet, over Zoom. You know, we had a little bit of a connection and had a good conversation that first time. So that was back in early May. And to catch up with her this time, a couple months basically later on, and see how far she's come in that just a short time, it's impressive. And, you know, it really reminds me of the Putty Tribe, as much as anything, is a place for like-minded people who can share projects and really support each other. Certainly, we see that a lot in the various groups that we have and, you know, various topics in the forum that just kind of take off and become a long thread that keeps going, you know, for days and even weeks at a time. So I want to put it out there to all of you, our wonderful listeners, that since the theme of career, job, entrepreneur, and business, even just the practical search for how to make a living that we enjoy, that, you know, makes us happy and is sustainable, etc. It's a common theme for so many of us that are trying to figure this out, or maybe are ready for a change, want something new, something different. So I want to put it out there that perhaps we can help support each other develop our business ideas. They could be completely different, random ideas in, you know, completely different niches and industries, etc., different formats, whatever it is. But to have that common support as basically individual solo entrepreneurs, I think would be a wonderful thing. It's something I really want to develop. Annie and I have talked about it, and a few other people in the group. Vanessa works on her entrepreneurial ideas as well. She has a little podcasting business for editing and stuff like that. And Ollie's another one. Hopefully, we haven't had him on the show yet. I'd love to chat with him and bring him on as a guest. But he's another one with various business ideas. But hey, that's just a small sample of, I know, the number of people in our community who are established as entrepreneurs, business owners, or who have just started and just taking the leap, or of course are thinking about doing it or are ready to, or maybe it's kind of a more of a distant dream. There's various stages, right? but I'd love to see people come together and support each other. So I put it out there. It's going to take some initiative, of course, and some organization, but it's maybe something that we can think of to really get even more out of the Putty tribe. And given that so many of us are in this like-minded position of wanting to be self-employed, basically, and find a way to, you know, control our schedule and do meaningful work and feel satisfied and fulfilled. So this is not the only conversation, of course, that we've had about that on this show. We've talked to Mike there a few months ago, back just before Christmas last year. Sandrine has had her own business that she's, a couple of businesses really, that she's been working on. And on from there. So it's a common thing. And this is a big part of what reminds me of it, is that it just keeps coming up again and again and again, that it's kind of like we talk to people, we bring them on the show. It's like, so what do you do for work and what's your profession, your career, etc.? Well, I have my own business, or I want to have my own business. I'm about to launch my own business. I have some ideas for a business. All these kinds of things. It's a pretty common thing. So, hey, maybe it's something that we can pursue collectively and support each other, help each other out. Right, so before we sign off, I'd like to take a couple minutes to share with you our latest Putty Peep of the week, and we're going to start with Pamela Wood Brown. She is currently into the future of work, there you go again, belonging and community, or intersections like women and coding. She lives in Greenville, South Carolina, in the United States. She has previously lived in Bethesda, Maryland, in the Washington, D.C. area, in Long Beach, California for 18 years, and now she's back in South Carolina. Again, another new member. Pamela just joined the group back in the beginning of June of this year, so she's new, but she's been diving right in to getting involved in lots of conversations, of course, and sharing her story. And she talks about how she had this unique work opportunity in which she was able to share her varied skill set to create a positive community impact. But then, unfortunately, the program was canceled that led to that job. It was canceled last year. So she's been back at job searching and so on ever since. But she's talked a lot about the future of work and how technology is creating new and more flexible ways of working, and especially the importance of community. You know, it's kind of the paradox that we launch these businesses or find jobs working remotely from home kind of thing, where you're basically by yourself in like your little home office or your kitchen table. But where's the community? It's kind of digital. It's remote. It's all over the place. That's the nature of the Putty tribe for the most part, although it's been great to see all the meetups over the last little while. And hopefully you've seen some of the pictures from the Amsterdam meetup there just 2 or 3 weeks ago. That was pretty cool. But anyway, I mean, it's a new definition of community, of course, in this day and age. So that's what Pamela is certainly into as she figures out her next step. Now, you can find her on Twitter. It's twitter.com/fancybike. Fancy Bike is also her Instagram profile. It's all one word. And you can find her on Facebook and LinkedIn under her full name, Pamela Wood Brown, with an E, B-R-O-W-N-E. And actually, that's her website too, pamelawoodbrown.com. And you can find out more about her there. So that's Pamela. She is our first Putty Peep profile of the week. And second, we have Jean-Luc Trepanier. He is currently into asking tough questions, welcoming new Putty Peep, including himself, because just like Pamela, he joined at the beginning of June there. And he's also into having fun in Montreal. So this is kind of neat because Jean-Luc sent me a message on LinkedIn before he joined the Putty Tribe. I guess he found my link there. I don't use LinkedIn too much yet, at least, but he knew I was a member of the Putty Tribe, and he sent me a message. He's like, you know, I don't know you, of course, but you live pretty close to me. He's in Montreal. He's in Montreal here in Canada, and I'm in Ottawa, basically, so a couple hours apart. We haven't met yet, but he did send me a message, and he's like, you know, what's the deal with this Putty Tribe? Is it worth joining, and, you know, is it worth the money and all the rest? And I was like, yeah, well, you know, if you're okay with the expense, then, you know, it's kind of, you get as much out of it as you put into it, but it's a wonderful community. So if you feel it's something that is of value to you, then absolutely go for it. So he did. And look at him now. He's the Putty Peep of the week. So that's pretty cool. He really dove right in, and that's great to see. So I know Jean-Luc has been organizing a meetup in Montreal that'll hopefully be a monthly thing. And for, you know, other members of the Putty Tribe, there's a few people that live in the Montreal area or within a fairly short drive. Jean-Luc's also lived actually here in Ottawa and also in Kingston upon Hull in England. You can find him, of course, on LinkedIn. It's JL3Trepanier, T-R-E-P-A-N-I-E-R. So all one word. That's his LinkedIn profile, and that's largely where he's the most active, I guess, these days. But certainly getting more and more into the Potty Tribe since he's joined. And great to see him recognized for that. So, you know, another new member who just dives right in. And if you think back to when you first joined, you know, whenever that was, maybe a few months ago, a couple of years ago or more, you know, it's those early days when we get really excited and we introduce ourselves and start to meet all these wonderful people. And then we learn how just the kind of opportunities and conversations that we can have, which is a big part of what makes it so exciting to be part of this community. So that's Jean-Luc. He had told me that he was going to listen to the podcast here. So Jean-Luc, j'espère que tu écoutes cet épisode-là, puis on va t'inviter au Multipod podcast le plus tôt possible. So I hope he's listening to this episode in particular, and that we'll get him on the show soon. So that's Pamela and Jean-Luc, our Putty P profiles for this week. Well, we hope you've enjoyed this episode and are feeling a bit of inspiration and motivation after all the wonderful things we've talked about here today. And we'll pick up the conversation again in 2, maybe 3 weeks as the summer rolls on, but all part of the wonderful journey that is the Multipod, the official podcast of the Putty Tribe. Thanks very much, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.